Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
For 18 consecutive years, Boston has led the nation among all U.S. cities in the amount of funding from the National Institutes of Health. Money for biomedical research here last year reached a near record. But now, the federal sequester calls for cutting the NIH budget by 5% this year, and even more over the coming decade. In our latest look at the effects of the automatic budget cuts, WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reports on changes that could profoundly affect the work of scientists in Massachusetts.
In his laboratory at the Whitehead Institute for Biomedical Research in Cambridge, Piyush Gupta demonstrates a centrifuge. His lab is filled with flasks and beakers. The halls are lined with large canisters of liquid nitrogen. And there's a special room to handle viruses.
We work with liquids. We work with organisms. We culture them. We probe them. We prod them. And these are the tools that allow us to do it.
Gupta is trying to figure out why cancer cells develop resistance to multiple drugs. The answer could save millions of lives and billions of dollars. Recent advances in biomedical research have reduced the cancer death rate in the U.S. by 1% a year, saving the nation $500 billion annually. Much of the work happens within walking distance of Gupta's lab in Kendall Square, at Harvard, MIT, and across the Charles River at Boston's teaching hospitals.
It's an amazing place. Within this one-mile radius, it's probably the highest density, I would say, of individuals doing the cutting-edge biomedical research.
More than 30,000 people in Massachusetts work directly in biomedical research. Gupta says that's due in large part to the grants researchers here get from the National Institutes of Health.
The NIH is the source of funding that sustains laboratory research, the primary source of funding throughout the country.
Massachusetts got $2.3 billion from the NIH last year. That works out to $377 per person. California was a distant second with $90. And if you look at just Cambridge and Boston, it's a whopping $3,000 a person. Scientist Piyush Gupta says that's helped create not only a critical mass of money, but also a community of world-class scientific talent.
It happens all the time in science where, you know, you're grappling with a problem and you enter slightly unknown territory that someone else down the hall is an expert in. It's because collaboration is in the DNA of researchers today.
But that's changing. While collaboration is still the cornerstone of biomedical science, today competition is the watchword as the federal source of funding shrinks.
My fear is that we're putting an entire generation of U.S. scientists at risk. If they go away, they won't come back.
Dr. Francis Collins is head of the National Institutes of Health. Today, a researcher's chance of getting an NIH grant is the lowest in the agency's history. Just 1 in 10 will get funded.
Sequestration is compromising the future of biomedical research and slowing improvement in the health of all Americans.
Dr. Collins is worried because while federal funding is declining in the U.S., in China, Japan, and other nations, it's increasing by as much as 20% a year. And those countries could be an attractive option for researchers competing for funding here.
There's Matt. There's Dexter. Catherine, she's a postdoc.
Back at the Whitehead Institute in Cambridge, Piyush Gupta leads a team of young grad students and postdocs.
Couldn't have better, more dedicated, more idealistic, smarter people working in the lab. You could feel the energy, right?
Actually, these young scientists aren't in career crisis just yet. Their pay is relatively low. It's scientists like 35-year-old Gupta who have to worry. He's at a critical transition. He's finished 12 years of postdoc research, and he's got his own lab at the Whitehead Institute, but now he needs outside funding to keep it going. The average age when a researcher gets their first NIH grant is about 40, but with sequestration, federal funding is iffy at best. So these days, Gupta spends a third of his time writing grant applications to nonprofits like the American Cancer Society, but so does everyone else. And even if research projects are approved, such organizations don't always have the money to fund them. So they've created a new category called PAYF.
And so what that means is if funds magically appear between now and 2.5 years from now, the work will be funded.
So you're in limbo.
We're in limbo. And certainly we're not unique in being in that situation. There are many PAYF grants in New England, across the country, waiting.
This is not my problem. I'm a tenured professor at Harvard Medical School.
Chuck Stiles has been at Harvard's Dana-Farber Cancer Institute for nearly 40 years. He feels his funding is relatively safe, but he's concerned for the future generation.
They are seeing professors like me tearing their hair out, trying to keep the lights turned on, trying to run a laboratory with duct tape and baling wire, and good kids that are saying, business school's looking pretty good to me, maybe law. The science looks like it's not a dependable way to, you know, settle down and have a family.
Stiles, like most scientists these days, cobbles together his research money from a variety of sources, including Novartis. The mega pharmaceutical company is constructing a new 500,000-square-foot research facility in Cambridge.
You work for Novartis. You get money from them at least, right? They've got plenty of money. They're a profit-making company. Let them fund the whole thing. Let the marketplace deal with it.
Well, that's sort of like saying the National Football League gets all of its players from colleges, so let the National Football League support all of our colleges and universities. Not going to happen. They can't sustain the discovery engine, which is the American colleges and universities.
This is a perilous moment for NIH and indeed for the future of biomedical research in this country.
Earlier this month, Democratic U.S. Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa chaired a hearing into the fate of NIH funding. In the Senate, the agency enjoys strong bipartisan support. Indeed, Democrats and most Republican senators favor not just rolling back the sequester cuts, but increasing NIH funding next year. Not so in the House. There, Republicans recently voted to cut the NIH budget by another 20% next year. That's in addition to the cuts already mandated by the sequester. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.